Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Astros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
Well, the Astros aren't going to win every game, but especially when you play a team like the Tigers, who are a very young team, played by former Astros great manager as a manager, you expect to win this game, but unfortunately, it didn't work out like that. I know Zach Greinke wasn't on top of his game, but we'll have to talk about this on this podcast. So, and don't forget, you can get Locked On Astros on Podcast Nap Himalaya, as well as Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Astros. And today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On Astros sent you. All right, so this was an interesting game. I think that we kind of talked about what the reaction would be when the crowd saw AJ Hinch. And it was kind of interesting because he talked about walking around downtown Houston today with a mask on, and people stopped him and say, "Hey, AJ, what's up? Welcome back to Houston." And he's like, "You can recognize me?" And this guy is a legend. I don't care what he did, if he was part of the scandal, whatever. This guy brought a World Series to Houston. Everybody will know him. If he goes into a bar when he's, 80 years old, people will buy him a beer because he brought the Houston at their first World Series championship. So, yes, AJ, people are going to know who you are with if you're in a box with a fox, if you have green eggs and ham, whatever. I forgot how that Dr. Seuss book.
I don't even know. But here's the thing. You know, I mean, he actually lives up in the Woodlands. So he makes his home in Houston. And, you know, his daughters have all gone to school here. And I remember that interview when they talked to him on TV and when he came out. And you know, I saw genuine remorse. This city owes nothing but gratitude, I think, to AJ Hinch. And I know I've had a couple people that have instant messaged me on, you know, different platforms saying, you know, he didn't do enough to stop it. You know, that's neither here nor there. Look, it happened. He served a suspension. He was literally fired without warning. And now he's back in the helm. I think it's great that he came back. One of the best pictures I saw on Twitter, I think a Dodgers fan tried to turn it into something negative, but it was Alex Bregman, like, hugging AJ Hinch. These players still adore AJ Hinch. They don't have any ill will towards him. He doesn't have any ill will. He's a good guy. AJ Hinch is, I'm sorry, good for baseball. And if you hate me for saying that, then maybe you're the loser. But here's the thing. AJ Hinch coming back was great. I didn't want him to get a win today in Monday's game, but he did. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the miscues. And there's a key late inning at bat that I want to question why they didn't put someone else in. And we'll get to that. But I wasn't watching the game because I was at my son's game. Okay. Eric, did they play when they introduced the players? Did they at all go back and have the cheers play that on TV for the broadcast? Or was that, and if you weren't there, you didn't hear it?
I think they did have the cheers. I didn't really see a lot of it. I'm sure they did. I missed it, but I know that, before the game, they did have a kind of a presser for the local media, and AJ Hinch said that his relationship with the Astros have been fine. You don't spend 5 years together and just simply walk away and don't have a relationship. And he said that he and Jim Crane have stayed in touch. Hey, you fired me. Hey, you want to go out for a beer? Yeah, sure. So,
Now it's not surprising to me because the kind of person AJ Hinch appears to be, and I don't think Jim Crane's a bad guy. So they're probably professionals. AJ probably knew it was coming. That's actually shocking to me. I didn't know that they had been in touch.
So, he also said, "I do believe that we did some good things in Houston. I do believe we were wrong in the behavior and decisions we made in 2017. It's hard to have that cloud over the sport and be responsible for that. And to be the man that was manager, that happened on my watch. My relationship with that time is complicated. It's very personal. It's something I take very seriously. And I will continue to apologize, not only that, to the Houston fans, but to the fans around baseball, and continue to repeat how wrong it was. So here's something that he said that I wish he kind of didn't say, because this is what people have been really kind of throwing at us. And I don't know. I mean, this is kind of going to open up a whole can of worms once the media gets this. This is what he said. We don't have the right to tell people how to feel or when they're done with it. Just continue to do good things and be the best version of yourself and hope the sport moves forward. Because we've had Dusty Baker saying, oh, the Astros have paid their price and we need to move on. Stop throwing trash cans at us. But here is AJ Hinch saying, you don't have the right to tell people we've paid the price.
I wonder if he's talked to Sully. That sounds something exactly like Sully. No, I'm just saying, because that's what he's been saying. I've literally heard him say those exact words. You don't have the right to tell people when they're done with it. Now, you know what? I'm an adult. You're an adult. So if you're listening to this, you're an opposing fan. You can be offended. You can be upset for the rest of your life. Like, you can live in that negative world. That's fine. And I think what AJ Hinch is doing is he's doing this to show his remorse. But I'll be real honest, if AJ Hinch were to ask me, like he would ever ask me for my opinion, he won't. He's only liked one of my tweets ever, so that's the closest personal interaction I've ever had with him. But he doesn't have to apologize to anybody anymore. Why? Why do you have to keep apologizing? Like, once you say it, if people don't accept it, screw them. I'm sorry. I think it's time to move on from this, but obviously we can't move on from it because people want to wallow in the, you know, hey, wallowing. We're doing enough wallowing after this game. Like, I was shocked, Eric. You know, I'm sitting there coaching first base and I just happen in between innings to check my phone and I see 6-0 Tigers. I'm like, this is not a good night for baseball. We lost, the Astros are losing. So what happened with Zach Greinke out on the mound this evening?
Well, Zach Greinke just didn't look like his normal self. I know after the game, he said, I don't ever want to throw a slider again. That's a typical Zach Greinke response, but he just didn't look like his normal self. I know in his last game, he gave up that 2-run homer to Mike Trout in the first inning, and then he kind of settled down. Yeah. That was not the same as Zach Greinke today. And Zach Greinke gave up overall in 4 2/3 innings pitch. He allowed 10 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, 90 pitches, 56 were strikes. He was throwing way too many strikes. I know everybody's talking about that 51 mile per hour curveball, but in this was not the type of game to kind of throw that type of pitch. That is when you're winning. And you don't just throw that type of pitch in that game. I know it's going to make the pitching ninja list, but it's not that type of game. So it was just like something was broken and maybe he didn't have the right parts for his arm today. So maybe if this was a vehicle, maybe he needed to call rockauto.com.
Yeah, maybe Zach Greinke went to a chain storefront and paid way too much for a replacement on his Evis pitch. So this is what he needs to do. He needs to go to rockauto.com and he needs to realize that they have parts for all makes and models. It doesn't matter if you're looking for carpet, brake pads, tail lamps, fuses, whatever you need, go to rockauto.com. Their website is easily navigable. It is a family-owned business. They've been around 20 years. Your job when you're fixing your car is to save money. So why go anywhere else? Why get upcharged because you're not a professional mechanic? Because Rock Auto doesn't play games like that. Best of all, the prices at Rock Auto are always reliably low, but the same for everybody. I want you to realize that this website is easy to navigate. Go type in your make, your model, what you need, and they'll have it. They'll deliver it to your doorstep. No need to wear a mask, go out in public. It'll be delivered right there. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts that are available for your car or truck, right? Locked on their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
You know what? Watching Zach Greinke pitch today, I really wanted a belching beaver, and I ran out.
Oh, man, that's not good. Well, let me tell you, there is an IPA they have now called No Worries IPA. It's an Indian Pale Ale. It is the epitome of a true West Coast IPA, but with a twist of modern-day hops and aromas. This hop-forward West Coast ale pours clear with a nice bubbly head. Aromas of darkness and tropical fruit jump from the glass. The first sip will tingle your taste buds, and as the bitterness mellows, the hop flavors take over. Go to belchingbeaver.bev to find out where in Texas they distribute this, because they've come to Texas with their partnership with Ambient Distribution. If you're on the West Coast, you're in the Oceanside area, go check out belchingbeaver.com. They were started in 2012, and their goal was so that you could have a damn good time, even when Zach Greinke's giving up bombs. Belching Beaver, the best beer in the biz.
All right, guys, get out all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you with all the latest news in every major sport with the help of your local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I don't know where the country accent came from, but let's get back to the Locked On Astros podcast. So, yeah, it was not a great game overall, and it felt like the offense, I believe, if I remember correctly, the Astros had like 3 or 4 hits in the first 5 innings. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, the Astros were averaging, what, 7.5 runs in the first like 6 games or so. And then all of a sudden, and just like they stopped scoring.
Yeah, they did. You know, Eric, one of the things I want to look at before we talk about the lack of hitting is I know that Zach Greinke went 4 2/3 innings, but look at Luis Garcia, what he did. He went 4 1/3 inning, only gave up 2 hits, 7 strikeouts, and 1 walk. We have to look at something positive, right?
Right.
That's good for someone like that to come in and do that. You didn't have to use any other pitchers. You only used one pitcher for the rest of the series. That's a good sign. But yeah, dude, the lack of hits. I mean, dude, Yuli Gurriel was 3 for 4 today. Kyle Tucker was 2 for 3. Correa got that home run late in the game. What, the 9th inning? Was that when he got his home run?
Yeah.
You know, Brantley.
Yeah, that was almost to the train track. I know that. Somebody said it was the train track, but it was almost there. But yeah.
But you know, Brantley hit the home run, but both of them were solo home runs. You didn't have base
late
runners
in game. It seems like the Astros are really good, especially Carlos Gray late in game. But you can't wait so late in game. And Casey Mize was good, but he was not great. You had some opportunities early in a game, but you can't let a rookie dominate you like that. And he has a 0.82 ERA after the start, but he only went
4 innings his first start. So the fact that he went 7, only gave up 4, had 2 walks, and I mean, he only had 5 strikeouts. It's not great, but I mean, it's not horrible. But I mean, that is the best start of his career, I believe, so far, because last year he was not very good last year at all.
Yeah, then you have Badu.
Badu, yeah.
He's a Rule 5 draft pick that's hit his 3rd home run of the season, and it was a 450-foot bomb off Zach.
Now, where was it? Because, again, I didn't watch the game. Was it right field, left field? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I want to say it was, like, right center or something like that, but it was a bomb. I think
I'm watching it right now.
It was like the second longest of that. It was like the second or third longest of that Zach Greinke's give up in his career, according to Statcast or something.
Yeah, so, it was the second row of the Budweiser porch. It was 109.3 miles an hour off the bat exit velocity. And it's funny, as Badu's, the only time I've ever heard the name Badu is a guy that worked with my wife when we were in Louisiana. That was his nickname, Badu. But of course, he didn't spell it like that. I remember hearing that going, is this guy from Louisiana? But yeah, dude, he rocked that ball. He absolutely crushed it.
Yeah. And Yordan Alvarez, his bat has cooled down a little bit. Altuve's, he's still batting 325. But he was 0-for today. Bregman was 0-for today. It's the bats are cooling down a little bit. I know a lot of people are turning on Miles Straw. I'm not saying that he is the answer in center field, but we got to give him time. This is his first chance to get a chance. But yeah, I mean, I know that you're talking about Chaz McCormick. Why did you not give him a chance versus Rebel Garcia? Why did you not have him come in to maybe bat for Martin Maldonado?
Exactly. Because, you know, because Miles Straw had a double, right? I went back and looked at the score and Martin Maldonado gets up and I'm like, why would you not put someone who can hit in that spot?
Kyle Tucker had a double.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kyle Tucker had a double. Miles Straw got, I think he grounded out, okay?
Yes. But and he advanced Kyle Tucker to third base.
But, I mean, so you had a guy on third. Why don't you pinch hit Chaz McCormick in that position? Or I don't care, somebody. I mean, or freak Jason Castro, what the hell? I'm sorry. He's like 34. He's Martin Maldonado. He's not there for his bat. We know that. He bats ninth. But, Eric, what's – and I know we don't need to be too hard on these guys, but Miles Straw had five left on base. No one else.
Ten games in. I'm not going to freak out.
I know, but Miles Straw and Martin Maldonado between them had nine batters total they left on base. You've got to at least – capitalize on one of those opportunities.
As high as we were with the Astros offense in the first six games,
right,
we can't be all of a sudden doom and gloom.
No,
four games. So
no, I'm not, but I'm saying, like, if you're looking at this from a coach's perspective, like, you have to go to these guys and say, look, when you get guys on base, we've got to figure out a way to get you on base. Like, you can't leave five and four runners stranded. You can't leave almost 10 runners stranded between two batters. I'm just pointing out the obvious things here. This team is fine. This team isn't going away. They're not fading into the sub 500 seed that they were in 2020, you know. But, I mean, there's still some good things. Like, you had the middle lineup, Correa, Gurriel, and Tucker. I mean, they contributed. Just nobody else really did. I mean, Brantley, yes, with the solo, but it takes all nine players to win a game.
Outside of the home opener, the Astros offense has not been very consistent, and they've got to get that going, whether that be tomorrow. We'll have to talk about tomorrow's matchup in a few minutes, but they've got to get the bats going. They got to get back to that consistency, whether that I don't know what's not clicking, but it just seems like it's just not going. Maybe they need to get back to scoring back in the first inning, or I don't know what the difference is.
They just need to get on base. They just need to hit. They need to bunt. They need to manufacture runs. I mean, you know, that's how it is in baseball, you know.
Greinke's ERA has risen up to 4.08. And I know after his first two starts, he's going to have his ups and downs. He's not a overpowering pitcher anymore. So he's going to have his ups and downs. So you can't really criticize him, but he just did not look great today. He did not look confident, and he had a high pitch count already in the first inning. So you knew that it was going to be a rough night for him. So you can't always bet on Zach Greinke. So let's talk about who you can bet with.
Well, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Football is over. The NBA is here. The NHL is in full swing. MLB is in full swing. BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON.
All right. Was it your bad that you did not pick up Badu in your fantasy baseball league? Well, maybe you should have been listening to Scott Cullen and the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast, because he probably would have said, hey, this guy's doing pretty good. I didn't listen to it. So maybe I should start listening to it so I can pick up that guy before everybody else picks him up. So go listen to Scott Cullen on the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. All right, so let's go and look at tomorrow's matchup. I know Lance McCullers is on the mound for the Astros, and who's on the mound for the Tigers?
For the Tigers, actually, we have Jake Odorizzi.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Yay, yeah. It's Jake Day.
Yeah, it's Jake Day. Jake Odorizzi He basically is making his debut with his new team. He's coming off a season where only pitched 13 and two-thirds innings with the Twins due to three stints on the injury list. Right. But we do know that as a Twin, he was an all-star. He was their ace. And so he comes out. I think he does great. I think I give him 6 or 7 innings. I say he gets 5 or 6 strikeouts. I think Jake Odorizzi comes in and does the job. I know some people are nervous, but Matt Boyd is on the other side. He's given up 7 home runs in 4 career starts against the Astros. The Astros love hitting off this guy.
But Matt Boyd is having a good start to his season.
Right, but he hasn't pitched in Minute Maid Park either since 2015, where he gave up 5 runs in as many innings to AJ Hinches.
The Astros offense is off to
okay. All right, so wait. Earlier, I was being negative, and I'm sitting here trying to be positive, and you're knocking every positive with the negative. You know what, dude? Listen to me. I'm telling you, MLB.com's giving me this information, and it is reliable.
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal. Thank you, Eric. That's why we make a great team. But he basically has a 5.91 ERA against the Houston Astros. So I think the Astros turned it around. I think it was smart that we said that the Astros don't sweep the Tigers. But I would be shocked if the Astros do not win tomorrow. They've lost 3 in a row. They've got to end this. The Angels won again, so they're gaining ground. They are a division foe. You've got to keep pace with them. You can't 1-3, 1-3, 1-3 and expect to get somewhere if you want to hope to make a playoff run. So yeah, we hope that Matt Boyd's not placing his pitches. We hope that Matt Boyd's giving up a lot of home runs like he does to the Astros. And we hope that the bats wake up. Maybe they just need to break the bats they've been using the last 2 games and like burn them and get all new bats. You know, maybe they need to do that. Put a little Jobu action on it.
Yeah, I did tweet that out today, and Angel Hernandez was behind the plate today, and that wasn't the reason why Zach Greinke had a bad game. But I remember before the game there were some boos, and it wasn't because of AJ Hinch; it was because Angel Hernandez was announced as the.
How was that guy still at a job? Good Lord!
Yeah,
sorry.
So, anyway. So he was trending. So I was just wondering why he was trending. That's never a good thing when umpires trending. So
especially him.
Some things that we didn't get to talk about yesterday. Speaking of which, I don't know about Jake Odorizzi going 5-6 innings. I think
you know what? I didn't think about that when I said that. I
don't
yeah,
think he's
going
right. to go. I'll be surprised if he goes.
I think
4-5. 4-5.
I say 5. Yeah, and I wasn't think when I said that I was kind of being like your optimist, your optimistic guy, you know. But yeah, you're right. He's realistically, we need him to get a few strikeouts and do soft contact or ground balls right. and get out of the innings quick without a high pitch count. If he goes the first 3 innings and you know has maybe 10 to 15 right. pitches each inning,
yeah.
I'm good with that.
I know he went 6 innings in a practice squad versus the Rangers team, but I think anybody could do that. But according to Elias Sports, tonight marked the first time that the Detroits had gotten homers from the 7th, 8th, and 9th place hitters
wow.
since June 6th in 2006. So,
oh, wow. That's crazy.
Congratulations, Astros. Ooh. You made history.
Dagger in the heart.
So, Pedro Baez is dealing with shoulder soreness. I believe that he was removed from the COVID injured list and then placed on the 10-day injured list with right shoulder soreness. So, he was trying to make a comeback, and then I guess from all his downtime, he injured his shoulder. So, I think that's he's not looking to come back anytime soon. We didn't get to talk about this last night. Anoldi Paredes was placed on the 10-day IL. He's likely not going to throw for a couple weeks. I don't know if they've said anything. There's something wrong with his side. And so they don't really know what's going to happen, but they're going to shut him down. They said, we caught it before it became major. It's still going to be a couple weeks and a few days before he starts throwing. You don't want to make it worse or be chronic. So it's something muscular, probably something in his side.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, and I've talked about that. Like his throwing motion is so herky jerky. The way he slings his arm, the way he kicks his foot. I mean, he's so animated, and that can't be good for your arm or your muscles. And then another note, the Astros can throw Javier in simulated games or exhibitions at their alternate site in Corpus Christi, allowing him to stay in routine while conserving some of his major league innings. So that's a good thing.
That's why I brought up in yesterday's podcast to kind of save innings for October, because the Astros are going to want him be available in October, but that's going to take away my chances of him being the Astros pitcher with the most wins. But with Zach Greinke looking like he did today, then I don't know, maybe I have a good shot. So Jason Castro will be catching Jake Odorizzi tomorrow. And Dusty Baker said after the game yesterday that AJ Hinch knows how to pitch against us better than anybody in the world. So, because I believe that he coached six of the players in the Astros lineup yesterday. Yeah. So
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't ever usually predict home runs. You usually do that. I'm going to predict Jason Castro hits a home run tomorrow.
Okay.
How's that?
I'm going to predict that it's probably going to be Kyle Tucker, because I feel like Kyle Tucker is due one. And I think it's going to be Carlos Correa again. And I think that Jose Altuve is the leadoff game with one. So
tonight's game, I'm picking the Astros to win. I'm picking Jake Odorizzi to go five complete innings, okay, to get the win. Jason Castro hits a home run. The Astros win this game 7-3. They come out of their shell and just break open the – what do you think, Eric? Is that conservative, or what are you going with?
I think it's going to be something like that, five to three type of game.
Okay.
Something like that. So, also, Nivaldo Rodriguez was called up. We did not see him yesterday's game. Thankfully, Luis Garcia kind of saved the bullpen a little bit, because who knows what happens. Jake Odorizzi is getting the start tonight, so we don't know how deep he's going to go into the game. So, the Astros saved a little bit of bullpen. And Andre Scrub threw on Sunday, I believe. So, they don't know when he's going to be able to get back into action. He is one of those guys that could come back at some point, but Luis Garcia and Brandon Belak are still those guys who are be fighting for the roster spot once Christian Javier comes back at the end of April, because he will be rejoining the rotation. I think the April 23rd versus, or 22nd, around that time. Versus the Angels, because he is the fifth starter. So we'll have to see who gets sent down at that point. But guys, I think that's all we got for this Locked On Astros podcast. Hopefully the Tigers aren't as good as they were last night, and the Astros play much better game, and Jake Odorizzi shows the Astros why they got him so late. So yeah. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully it's a much, much better result, and go Astros.